The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is I Should Be Writing, number 533. And I can take these off because I just wanted to listen to Worm Quartet. So, I'm still a little bit transparent, but I'll deal with that later, unfortunately. Been away this morning doing a doctor's appointment and picking up things at the local music store. It was very empty and sad, but anyway, it is rainy and gross, and at least it's not hot. But hello, hey Kimmy, Kimmy, excuse me, Under Pope, Livick, Todd, Atelier Breezy, Shale, good to see you all. Thank you for dropping by. I had a couple of thoughts. Of course, this happened right after I asked the Discord if they had anything they wanted me to talk about, because I thought of a topic. But I will answer the one question. Hey, Sybil Rose. Hey, Jay Neander, Will Ralston. Wow, a lot of people. Good to see you all. And of course, Brenny, you told me how to pronounce your name, and I forgot. So, hey, Scotto. Hope you all are doing well-ish. We were having a kind of heavy talk in the Discord this morning about various COVID things, but it's just a gray kind of blah day. But you know what else is gray and kind of blah? Often fall is. We're in fall, in the Northern Hemisphere anyway, which means NaNoWriMo's coming up. And I like to do an early NaNoWriMo thing, podcast, because I want to see what you want from me, and to approach the thing on a planning thing, because I admire people who wait till November 1st, but not me. I can't do that. I lose NaNoWriMo every time, but I think it's possibly because I try to do an awful lot of content for I Should Be Writing audience. So I've discovered it's really hard for me to do a daily show and a daily 1,666 words. I got it right! Yay! Thank you, Brenny! Hey, Numbers Ninja. Yes, new glasses. Finally got new glasses. I can see. It's a novel experience. But, so anyway, I want to talk about NaNoWriMo. If you guys want to put questions in the chat, I'll be discussing some things I'm thinking of, but I want it to be a kind of conversation. Also, for you listening to the podcast after this, you have thoughts on what you want from I Should Be Writing during National Novel Writing Month, please email me, mightymer@gmail.com. Again, I'm doing the thing where I'm talking to the camera when it's live, and when I want to talk specifically to the podcast, I look over here to the mic. I don't know why. Well, I know why. Some people need to put googly eyes on their camera. I apparently just need a thing to talk to, and I'm fine. Livick, my first NaNoWriMo, I waited till the first and ended up writing my outline rather than my novel. See, it is important. Seeing is an important part of NaNoWriMo. I think so. But not always. There are going to be blind people writing, I'm very sure. But anyway, so outlining is good. I should probably start with what NaNoWriMo is, even though that feels strange, but it's possible there's somebody listening or watching who doesn't know. NaNoWriMo is National Novel Writing Month. It is international, by the way, but they started out as national. You are supposed to write a novel in 30 days. Now, there's so many asterisks here. For example, a novel isn't 50,000 words. You will be hard-pressed to sell a novel of 50,000 words, trust me. But the purpose of it is to think about quantity over quality, to force yourself to write, and hopefully to start a project and finish it, which a lot of beginners have not done. So many things slow you down when you're beginning, especially this sucks, I gotta start over, that was a bad paragraph, yesterday's writing was crap, I don't like where I'm going with this character. I mean, just you just always want to go back and fix it. Always go back and fix it. And National Novel Writing Month doesn't let you do that unless you are a master time organizer. You just need to put your book down onto the screen, paper, whatever. And the goal is 50,000 words in 30 days, which comes to 1,666 days, words per day. Which throwing in a 7 every once in a while, because that doesn't actually equal 50,000. I used to win NaNoWriMo every year, but in 2016 I lost my Remo Mojo. 2016 was a tough year. Have you gotten it back? 2020 is no walk in the park either. 20 is the hold my beer to 2016. Will says, I'm writing an outline all October to finish my, work in progress for Nano. It used to be a rule that you had to start and finish a project, maybe not finish a project, but start and get 50,000 words into a new shiny project, but they've since loosened that. Now, the thing is, there's nothing to stop you from logging into the site every day and writing down a fake number. So, the rules, as they are kind of dumb. I mean, not dumb. What am I thinking? It's everyone's going to do what they need to do, but you know what the goal is, and if you lie, you know you're lying. And if you get pleasure from lying about word count, then great, good for you. I don't. So, I think they... People try to abide by the rules, even though, that's why I said dumb. It's not that they're stupid rules, it's that they're not enforcing it, and there's no actual prize, except for bragging rights and a couple of icons. You can even buy the winner t-shirt if you want. Again, if you're happy with lying. So that is National Novel Writing Month in a nutshell. It is NaNoWriMo.org, I believe. It is a nonprofit that does a lot of work with young writers. There is a Young Writers NaNoWriMo that some teachers, they create packets to send to libraries and teachers to run a National Novel Writing Month thing with the kids in the classroom. Their goals are a little bit below 50,000. But I have heard there are an awful lot of kids who do try to hit the 50,000 and manage it. So, what am I doing with my life? Okay, Livik, if I wanted to pick up an old Nano script and continue working on it this upcoming Nano, having left it collect dust for a year, what should I do to prepare? I am not sure. Are you talking about a completely new rewrite? Or, like, are you adding on to it? Or what? You're going to have to give me a little bit more there. Never got it back under Pope. I'm so sorry. Are you writing anyway? I mean, NaNoWriMo is, it's fun to start out with because you get this big community feeling. You get this, I am with hundreds of thousands of other people and we're all going towards the same goal. Go, go team. And in non-pandemic years, you usually have like area write-ins and parties and stuff. I did not enjoy the one I went to because no one welcomed me, no one spoke to me, everyone was writing when I got there, and then when I left, no one said anything, and I didn't know if I was at a NaNoWriMo write-in or if I just crashed somebody's really quiet meeting. It was awful. I believe my daughter was with me at the same time. I don't know if you remember that, but, yeah, that was awful. But anyway, some people have good experiences with the write-ins. In pandemic year, I don't know what, I think people are planning a lot of virtual write-ins. I hope that goes well for them. But I have found that the first, like, week is a heady rush, and then with the grind of 1,666 words a day kind of get to you, and then you're gonna miss, like, the first day. The first day you miss, it's just like, oh! And then you have to do the math to figure out, okay, if I take that day's worth of words and spread it out over the rest of the month, what's gonna happen? And at least I'm speaking from my experience. That's how I start to get ground down. I try to do a podcast every day. Last year I did it for the Patreon supporters. And they say that helps. It's hard for me, and I'm not whining, I'm just explaining that it's hard to come up with new ideas for 30 days of podcasts about one topic every year. I realize I've been doing this for 2 or 3 years, which means that this November 1st will be episode 91 of the NaNoWriMo Daily Podcast, and I gotta do another 30. It's overwhelming a little bit, and I've found that I can't do both, so what I'm getting to is I'm trying to figure out what to do this year, because this year, not NaNoWriMo, I Should Be Writing has changed in that I'm streaming live twice a week and then putting it in the feed. So how does that fit with a live NaNoWriMo? Not live NaNoWriMo, but how does that fit with NaNoWriMo? The things I've thought of are this. I could run reruns. I could run reruns on every day except for Tuesday and Thursday, and that's when I do my live shows where I just sort of address and we can talk about NaNoWriMo. Or we could have write-ins, and I could do total reruns on every day, and then just the live stuff is like a virtual write-in. I'm not sure, so I'm eager to hear what you guys have to say. And I'm going to go to the chat now. January should be the edit and wrap up month. Actually, it is. Is it January or February? You probably should have some NaNoWriMo people. There is an edit month. The pirate code is more like guidelines than rules. Yes, it's an honor system. Okay, Kimmy suggests to Livick start by rereading it to get excited about it again. That's a good start. Hey, Billy Boy, good to see you. My past experience shows that you must start writing on November 1st or you'll be playing catch-up all month long, which is really hard to do. What I don't get is this might actually be easier this year because in America we have Thanksgiving, which is a huge travel holiday. So you've got, like, for most people, 2 travel days and at least 1 family-heavy feast day. Do you put your family aside? Do you get up early? Do you stay up late? Do you skip those days and pad the other days? I don't know if I've ever successfully made it to Thanksgiving to approach that. I've had some advice, which is really just ideas I've had, and I'm curious what other people have done, because I've had Grant Faulkner, the CEO of NaNoWriMo, on the show before, and I'm just like, why November, man? It's like major American holiday in there. And he's like, well, tell me a month that would have been better, because every single month has something major in it that's going to bother somebody. I still think Thanksgiving feels like at least 4-day, sometimes 5-day holiday, whereas, say, Easter's not going to be that much, and there are other things. I guess August and September sound good, but those are a lot of vacation and school starting times. Wow, people are chatty. I gotta catch up. This is awesome. Underpope, yep, writing pretty much every day. Just finished my novel. That is awesome. Underpope, what do you mean you haven't gotten your mojo back? You just said you finished a book. That's awesome. Hey, Primalina, good to see you. I had the same experience at a NaNoWriMo write-in in Denver. Oh, I'm sorry you had that experience, but I'm so glad I don't feel so alone now. That was so awkward. It was such an awkward experience. Just walking in, really don't know what I was crashing. Really felt like a, yeah, I made the joke about crashing somebody's meeting, but it really did feel like I was crashing something. Livic, follow up or rewrite more than likely, as I doubt my initial draft was amazingly well edited. It was a nano script after all, yeah. True. Well, if it's a rewrite, then yeah, read it through, make some notes about what you'd like to change, and then start on November 1st. Yes, that's a good point, Underpope. No official write-ins this year because of pandemic. They are not, I mean, of course they can't stop you, but no sanctioned NaNoWriMo official liaison run write-ins. They actually have their MLs. What does the M stand for? I don't remember. I know L is liaison, I think. Anyway, if you've won NaNo, they require you to have won NaNoWriMo and are good, are like organizing things, you can become a liaison for your area, which means you send out pep talk emails and you do pre-NaNoWriMo parties and post-NaNoWriMo parties and write-ins. You organize all that stuff for your area. And they're not allowed to do that. So I'm sure somebody will get together and do it, and I hope they stay safe. Okay, can't, write-ins, yes. Like the idea of write-ins too. Write-ins sounds good. Wow, okay, I did not expect that. February, Nano Edmo editing month. Yep, that's what it is, February. Oh, hey, Firewriter, good to see you. Glad you made it. Okay, people are saying we're back. Wow. At times like this, I'm glad I am a professional podcaster and newbie streamer. I've been doing it a couple of months, but still, I'm gonna call myself newbie on this one, especially since setting up this area requires like me stepping over the power strip. Easy to kick. So that was highly embarrassing, and I'm so sorry. Where were we? We were talking about people were pro write-ins, which frankly surprised me, but I can happily do that. Yeah, I will think about how to have it done. We'll get back to you on that. I was trying to think of doing a sort of live, if I can figure out how to do the camera. I know a lot of streamers, like craft streamers, put the camera like up here so you can see down what their hands are doing. But not quite sure how they manage that. But I was thinking of doing like a Save the Cat versus Snowflake method versus what's the other one? The one with the Excel sheet. What's the other? Do you guys remember that? I'm sorry, losing my computer really threw me off. Woo! Okay. Three outlining methods. There's StoryGrid. Thank you, Snarky Moon. Thank you so much. StoryGrid versus Snowflake method versus Save the Cat. And talk about maybe outlining my new project, and you could outline beside me only. If I run into a wall, I don't want y'all to see me struggling because I'm supposed to be instructing and helping instead of watch me screw up my outline. So I'm going to figure that out, but I think some sort of showing the benefits of each outlining method might be useful. Okay, Firewriter likes that idea. Underpope likes the idea. Don't we all learn best from working through problems? Struggles are still helpful, I think. Okay. I will try to figure that out. If anybody is a stream watching or stream producing veteran, and you know of easy to find advice on setups for, because I do all my outlining by hand, as I mentioned, I think Tuesday. But if you could let me know how, if you know how people set that up. I mean, I've got tripods, I've got a boom mic arm that I was using, but not anymore. Watching pros, I mean, yes. I see, watching pros. I always think watching pros working through problems is super helpful also. Okay. It's a little bit scary, but it'll probably ultimately help me. And maybe if there's something that I can't get through, you'll still be able to get through and still get something out of it. So I'm going to put some, making a note here, I'm going to put some work in the, I'm going to put some links in the show notes at merverse.com where you can find the Snowflake Method, Story Grid, and Save the Cat Writes a Novel. And if you're just watching the stream and don't think you'll be going to that, then look up, hey, I could probably, can I do that live? Is that something I can do? I mean, I've already screwed up this stream horribly. Might as well see if I could do it. There we go. Sure, I'll put it there. So, those are the things you need to look up if you can, if you're not going to look for the links on my website. And familiarize with those, and... Okay, so would you prefer... Okay. I could do a really long podcast where I show each one and do a live outline. I could do my outline already started and then put it in each format and then show you how the story sits in each format. Or I could do one episode per format with the same piece. So what do you think about that? This is something I just came up with, so that's why I'm kind of running through the different options. The outlining thing would be something I'd really enjoy, still working out my own outlining methods. Excellent. So I think we're on the right path. So let me know how you stand with option B or C, says Firewriter, either already made and shown in three methods or three separate episodes. And that takes the pressure off of me to both come up with a good book while live. that's a lot of pressure. Yeah. But yeah, so I will work on that and probably, thank you, Civil Rose. I was going to suggest that might be easier on you, Mer. So we will do that. I will, and this will be one of the few ones I'll post the link to the video in the podcast stream so people can watch it on the feed. Right now, the video is just me sitting in front of a picture of a large planet talking. But so that's why I don't really worry about putting the video into the RSS feed. But for this one, I think the visual will be worth it. So I will do that. I can't promise when it will be. Once I get all of my materials together, I'll figure out, and I think I'll know better by Monday or Tuesday how it's going to be done. But I will give you guys some heads up. Yeah, I really do appreciate the fact that y'all were waiting for me to fix my problem. It really means a lot because I have a very fragile ego, and my stream dying and then coming back and finding an empty room would have been very, very sad. But I have something new to put on my to-do list, to always check the power cord before streaming. See, I assumed I would get a warning, but I guess it's sucking so much energy so fast, it didn't want to warn me. I don't know. But... Okay, Kevin was distracted by breakfast/lunch. Well, that's legit. I can't help that. I can't help you with that, I mean. As much as I'd like to try, not much I can do from my little guest bedroom in North Carolina. Oh, wait, somebody did have a question. What I hear is you plan to feed us brunch. No. I'm sorry. I sometimes do have meetups at conventions of audience members, but if... I would love to if conventions ever happen again, but not right now. Vale who fights cats said that I make it in time for brunch. No! What have I begun? What have I unleashed? Any consolation, my mother's called me 3 times during this. I thought it was a tech failure on my end. I'm so sorry, Shale. Oh, boy. Okay, we did have one question from the Discord. Address how to get through the doldrums of writing the middle of the story. Or have you already talked about that at some point in I Should Be Writing History? I've talked about it a lot because a lot of people want to know about it. My first answer is to pass it off to Nancy Kress, because she wrote the amazing book Beginnings, Middles, and Ends, which says there are 3 parts to a story, and everybody usually loves one of the 3 and hates one of the 3. So the book is designed to help you through the one that you hate. And maybe not... Actually, I haven't read it in a while. I need to go back and revisit that. But I remember it being very, very useful to me. I think outlining might help you here. Because if you outline the exciting parts, the major story parts, not even like the heart-pounding action, but just the story beats that happen in the middle, that might help you get less doldrums and more just, this is the middle part of the book. This is where Frodo and Sam are walking and talking about potatoes and stuff like that. But yes, Nancy Kress, I will always recommend this book. Also, Tuesday somebody asked me for craft book suggestions. I forgot one of my favorite, which I have put here, which is Save the Cat Writes a Novel. Save the Cat was a story beat breakdown by Blake Snyder, but he was covering screenplays. And then someone, I can't remember her name, Jessica something, I think, took the Save the Cat method and fit it into, specifically for novel writers. Save the Cat was already useful, I thought, but specifically for novel writers, and that's useful, but what she does is she breaks novels into 10 categories, and they're not like genre categories the way you would think they are, because they more talk about, instead of the mood of the book, she talks about how the characters work together or against each other and how that changes the kind of book. Like, there's Guy with a Problem book. And, of course, now that I'm on the spot and the book's in the other room, that's the only one I can remember. But there are 10. You know, romance usually fits into one of the specific ones. But she has multiple examples of every single kind. So, like, she shows you why Because of Winn-Dixie is the same genre as a romance. I don't remember what romance she chose, but it's... So she breaks it down, and she has several books that... She chooses one book in the genre and breaks it down beat by beat. And then she lists several others in that genre that you might want to look for. I think she might have beat sheets on the website. I'm not sure. Jessica Brody, thank you, Sybil Rose. Jessica Brody, Save the Cat Writes a Novel. It's very good. I highly recommend it. Vale Who Fights Cats. Is there a best writing book for discovery writers instead of outliners? I feel like my major issue is that I'm always having to adapt advice, none of it written for me. That is an exceedingly good point, which I am ashamed that I don't have an answer for right away, because I'm a pantser, and I've been trying to teach myself how to outline, because I've mentioned this before. It's like once you sell a book, selling that book tells a publisher that you know how to start and finish a book. And then after that, it's easier to sell on outline so you don't have to spend months and months writing a book only to have them turn it down. But because outlining is hard, that means I spend months and months on an outline to have them turn it down. That was fun, yeah. Okay. I have it sitting at the coffee table waiting for me to read. See, the thing is, I would have to go through and reread some of my craft books, and I can do that, because I think that'll help me, because I'm kind of between projects right now, and I'm, unless I, my book comes back with a major rewrite, I'm, like, at square one, so I'm gonna revisit craft books. Oh, I have an idea. Ooh, sorry, there's a new clipping video out. I love clipping. So, try No Plot, No Problem by Grant Faulkner. He, as I said, is the CEO of NaNoWriMo, and I think it's by Grant Faulkner. I know it's by somebody who was a bigwig at NaNoWriMo. It might have been somebody before him, but still, it's designed to go hand-in-hand with NaNoWriMo, so you just... to help you sit down and power forward. I don't actually have it, but I know that that's the point of the book. I will pick that up for myself and read it. Sybil Rose, also a pantser, I found reverse outlining to be great. I write 30K-ish and then toss beats into an outline to help me figure out what's missing. Yes, yes. Oh yes, thank you, Underpope. Chris Beatty, who started NaNoWriMo, wrote No Plot, No Problem. Grant Faulkner is currently the CEO, and I think he might have written something too, but I'm not sure what it is. But No Plot, No Problem might help you out. That's the only thing I can think of offhand. Maybe On Writing by Stephen King. I am not the biggest On Writing fan because people never talk about the fact that it's half memoir, half craft, which is great if you're a Stephen King fan, and I have been at certain points in my life. I'm not a fan of what he does now, and that's not... I always feel like when you're lukewarm about something, it still sounds like your choices are, I like it or I don't like it. Don't like is too active. I just have not liked where his writing has gone, so I don't read a lot of his current stuff, but his writing was rather formative for me. So his memoir half of On Writing was very useful. Frankly, a lot of people say it's the best writing book out there, and I forget what's in the other half. I remember the part about the ear, I remember the part about the poison ivy, and I remember the part about how he was standing in his crappy little apartment talking to his wife about, you know, what they could, if whether they could afford something, and then finding out that he'd sold the paperback rights to Carrie for $400,000. This was the 70s. So, anyway, I remember all of those parts because Stephen King is a master storyteller, but once he gets into craft, for some reason it all left my mind. Vale, who fights cats, says, On Writing, Writing Down the Bones, and Writer's Book of Days always felt like the books you buy someone so they feel writerly, but there's no real practical advice in any of them. Yeah, writing... I'll add Bird by Bird to that. All I remember from Bird by Bird is the... why she calls it Bird by Bird, which is her brother was sat on a assignment he was supposed to do on a whole bunch of birds, and the night before it was due, he was under the dining room table weeping. And his father's like, what's the matter? He's like, I haven't done any of my bird project. He's like, you'll get through it, bird by bird. So, that's, I can't remember anybody's names, but people in the, I want to say Natalie Goldberg? Is that Writing Down the Bones? No, Anne Lamott. Anne Lamott is Bird by Bird. Writing Down the Bones is Natalie Goldberg. Correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but, let's see. No Plot, No Problem motivated me to try NaNoWriMo for the first time, says Billy Boy. I hope the others read it and had the same result. Okay, Kimmy, love Bird by Bird. Brandy, I like Take Your Pants Off, too. Can't remember the author. I will check that one out. Hope I will not run into a Chuck Tingle book. I'm writing this down. I think at least Billy Boy, I'm not sure. Kay Kimmy, I think what you might have missed was we are going to be doing some live outlining, taking something of mine and putting it into the Snowflake Method story grid and Save the Cat Writes a Novel, which is why that's up here for people who may not get the show notes off my site. So I'll be looking into those, throwing an outline into them. I'll be honest, it may turn out to be me sitting under my own dining room table, around surrounded by outlines, weeping because I can't fit my book into those three, but that's also something to address. So even if I fail, I will come through and outline, use those three outlines to compare them. Let's see. It will also have spoilers for an upcoming project of mine, which I'm trying to figure out how to handle. But yeah, that's what we're doing in the upcoming episodes before NaNoWriMo. Also doing daily reruns of the NaNoWriMo podcast over at the RSS feed. So if you only watch me on the stream, that's Merverse.com. That's where you find the I Should Be Writing podcast feed, or any search for I Should Be Writing podcast on any podcast app, you'll find it. Let's see. Take Your Pants Off is by the one who loves discovery writing but hit a year where she had 11 books due and had to learn to outline. Wow, is that the 2,000 to 10,000 person? Oh, good to see you, Fire Rider. Thanks for dropping by. Or is that take Your Pants Off? I feel like I'm going to be buying a lot of craft ebooks today. So Take Your Pants Off. There's also 2,000 to 10,000, but I think that takes pantsers and makes them outliners. Libby Hawker wrote Take Off Your Pants, but fiction is under Olivia Hawker. Okay. See, why would you do that? Because sometimes people are look askance at writing books by people whose fiction they can't find anywhere. It never came up for me to have a pen name for I Should Be Writing, but that would have been really stupid because my name is already attached to the podcast. But anyway, my point is that I'd want my name attached to a craft book so people could see that I actually practice what I preach and can say what I do, what I'm saying to do is successful. A Wonder Book by Jeff Vandermeer, of course, yes, that is a very beautifully illustrated book. A lot of illustrations to cover the advice he has. So yes, thank you for reminding us of that, Will. Yeah, love Wonder Book, says Under Pope. So we are going heavily. I should be writing all these down so I can put... Okay, I'll go through the chat and write all these down so you guys will have them in the show notes. So this is just for overall craft suggestion books. But yeah, check out the ones you can if you're strapped for time this weekend and you don't have a to-be-read pile. I don't know who doesn't, but sometimes books jump to the front, as they do. But those are the three outlining programs you should get at least a little bit aware of. I will say that I definitely do not recommend the book about the Snowflake Method. It tries to take fairy tale characters and put them in a writing class where they're trying to learn the Snowflake Method, and it's like, I think he's nesting too many story within stories, and I just got really annoyed at when he was trying to put like plot and emotion in there when I just wanted to know how to do the next step. So I frankly do not recommend the Snowflake Method book. But the website is extremely descriptive of how the snowflake method works. Under Pope, the snowflake method book is useful pretty much only for the appendix, which actually describes the method, which you can find on the website. So, Veil of White's Cat's Story by McGee is the most helpful writing book I've read, but I vehemently disagreed with half of it. But the stuff that worked really helped, especially character and plot and stuff. I find it amusing that Stephen King is vehemently against adverbs, like a lot of authors, and I have realized the thing about adverbs, and it's the same thing that I find about movies and books that really try to be inclusive of non-straight white guys, any of those different categories, and it's taking all the adverbs out of your book will not necessarily make it better. Just like taking three of your characters and making one a black man, one a gay Asian woman, and one a white woman is going to make your book more inclusive and better. What makes it better is if you are somebody who combs through your book that carefully and has a grasp of the language to where you can say what you want to say without throwing a whole bunch of adverbs in, the book will be better because of that. It's like taking the adverbs out is not the cause. It's actually a symptom of careful writing. So if you're doing careful writing, you're doing a lot of other stuff to make your book really good, but the adverbs being in there or out of there is kind of a signal. And people who, when you put like lots and lots of different characters in your book to actually show a multifaceted world like the one we live in, you're usually thinking more about different points of view and how the world works to different people, and that will make your story better. So it's not like, and not a lot of people say it that way. It took me a long time to figure out why the whole adverb thing was so contentious. It's like, overuse of adverbs is a sign of weak writing, but it's not the cause of weak writing. So you got to get to the cause, and usually that's careful look at language to figure out how best to say the sentence without heavy use of adverbs. So that is my adverb rant. And I've been going for a long time, even if you take out the mortification 10 minutes of trying to get my computer back up. It's at 15% now, guys. We're doing good. If you have any further questions about this, let me know in the chat now. Otherwise, I'm going to wind this down. To the people in listening to this in the podcast, I'm very sorry for the disjointed second half. I was really thrown off by losing my stream. And to the people in the stream, I'm so grateful that y'all hung around. It warms my heart. And I know that sounds really, really trite, but it does. It really means a lot to me that you wanted to stick around. So thank you for that. I will work on this whole outline project, and we will talk about it more next week. But at least familiarize yourself with one of them, and we'll talk about it more next time. My schedule is I'm going to do a gaming stream tonight. I'll still be doing How to Full Boyfriend because I finally got past the mid part of the game, and now things get really weird. The pigeon dating is kind of done. Now it goes into a much larger story. And that's at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. I'll be gaming Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Either Oxygen Not Included or Stardew Valley. I'm not sure. And then I do the more professionally episodes of Ask Me Anything on Monday at 12:30 Eastern. And Tuesday and Thursday we'll have I Should Be Writing at 12:30 Eastern. That's my schedule. Merverse.com is my website. And this is I Should Be Writing if you came in somewhere in the middle. So you just Check out Merverse.com if you want to see the other stuff I've written. There's a Star Wars book over there. There's a Minecraft book. There's a science fiction book that got a lot of award nominations. So that's what I do. I got an anthology coming out soon that I co-edited, Escape Pod's 15th Anniversary. That's the shilling. I'm done. No, I'm not done. I always forget. I need to write this one down, too. If you're listening on the podcast and you want to catch the live stream, it's twitch.tv/mightymer. And if you want to support the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/mightymer, where you can support for $1 a month and get access to the Discord and all the archives. This is episode 523. I've been doing it since 2005, so there's a lot of archives. But, let's see. Last bits to chat. Vale Who Fights Cats. For everyone listening at home, you should attend the live stream for the free brunch at least. Crap. Yes, free brunch on the live stream. I have managed to figure out how to do it. Like Mike TV on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Was it Willy Wonka or Charlie? Which was the book and which was the movie? Anyway, the movie. The first movie. Gene Wilder. I'm grateful that you didn't give up and brought it back. Thanks, K. Kimmy. Billy Boy, thanks for sticking in with us this morning. Glitch was actually kind of interesting. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate you. And I'll see you either tonight or probably on Monday. Remember, you can support the show at patreon.com/mightymer. I should be writing theme music provided by John Anilio. You can find more about him at johnanilio.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. But I should be writing. I should be working on my